In the last class we had on Sunday, we were looking at point C. One of the things we covered was point C, and this is just a quick review we're going to do before we go into the material. We looked at how God is worthy of our praise, and we've looked at several verses that help explain this idea, and also one that we looked at in the last class was Psalms, Psalm 148 and 5, that for He commanded and they were created. So, also we looked at Daniel, and we saw the idea when we were looking there about Nebuchadnezzar and how he had some help in understanding some things. And then in Daniel 4:37, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven. For all his works are true and his ways are just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride." And we also saw in 1 Chronicles 29 how David was praising and honoring God because God is praiseworthy. There was another thing we looked at in that last class that goes along with this idea of praise. And what was that? That was lesson, I think, D. That's thanks. So we also looked at thanks. So if we understand why we should honor God and praise Him, then we should be a people that are grateful and thankful. We looked at Romans 1, and when we were looking there in Romans 1, what did it say that what did God expect?
He expects to be acknowledged that He's the Creator, and that we have no excuse not to do that.
Okay, so He
to give thanks.
Ma'am?
And to give thanks.
Okay, right, because it says that for to be honored and for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Okay, and it also said, I think somebody might have just said it, that they were without excuse. So, something we too can keep in mind. So we're without excuse. There's a lot of things that we can be thankful for, and that's kind of where we left off in our last class on, what page number is that of y'all's? 28?
Uh-huh.
Oh, is it 29? Okay.
Yeah.
Page 29. Where we were looking at, I'd ask for y'all to be prepared to share some things with the class as far as some things that we can be thankful for, things that maybe we don't think of often enough, or things maybe you could share with the class, things you might have thought of that might help us to acknowledge some things that we ought to acknowledge. Did anybody have any thoughts or anything they might have put down that we didn't cover?
I thought about the way He blesses us in wisdom. He blesses us in discipline at the same time. And we don't understand how He does that, but it's for our good. I know that. And sometimes we don't understand that. We ask for blessing. He might discipline us.
The way He answers.
Right, He answers our prayers in ways we don't understand, but we know it's for our good.
Right. We can trust that it's
and
for
it's,
our good.
It's all working for our good. And He does that for our good. We know that if we trust and have faith in Him.
Okay. And
hope.
Ma'am?
I think we should be thankful for hope. You know, to have the hope of heaven. Which,
okay,
to me, encompasses a lot of things, all the things that it takes to get there, you know, grace and mercy and faith.
The promise we have.
Yeah. And so that's just one thing I'm thankful for, that there's always hope, you know, no matter what we've done or what happens in society or what, you know, there's always hope if we just do what he says.
Okay. And Rocky brought up, well, one of the things you brought up last class was the Word. And, you know, that's, and in connection with that, the one thing I thought of are the minds we have, you know, the ability to be able to read and to understand, and we're expected to use these minds and to reason. Yes, sir.
I also have down on my list on things to be thinking for is our health.
Yes.
You know, we all are eventually going to get much, much older, and things are going to start falling apart, and you know, we might have serious sicknesses, and we're all relatively here, enjoying pretty good health, a good night's sleep, we get up, or all these sharp minds, and everything working pretty well.
Right.
But things are going to change with time, and you know, sometimes we might start losing down the road with some of the faculties that we have complete control over now, and you know, here we're kind of enjoying that. I mean, we take it for granted. So.
Right. And we know people that don't have the health, and some of them are a very good example to us, because even though the things are going through, and which shows their trust. That's a good point. Yes.
Well, I don't think they mentioned one, but I think as far as peace among the brethren. Because the role I have, right. And me, you know, it's obvious to me. And when it's not there, it's obvious to thank the Lord. And others, there's a willingness of men who dedicate their lives to preaching. And not to be any more thankful for them, but I'm especially minded of men doing that in difficult circumstances.
Right.
And some have much more difficult time than others. And some men we support have more difficult time than others. And also the opportunity we have to work, you know, we have fellowship with. So that, to me, that's a blessing that God affords us. We have funds that we can do it to thank the Lord.
Well, I know, and one thing, and I think I'm going to cover it a little bit further in one of the classes, it's also the, and I know people think of it because I hear men mention it all the time, and that's, you know, the leadership and stuff that we have here. Those are things, all these things are good for us to be thankful and have on our minds.
Going along those lines, Craig, in my various different visits, either in other countries or in other states, about the leadership, I find in congregations I am somewhat familiar with the difficulty. They don't have men and elders. I really feel they have qualified men. The things that I've noticed, and you know, there's always, I think, a more reluctancy of taking the scriptures way beyond what they were intended. And you'd be surprised how many congregations don't have men, and you have some very stable men, very knowledgeable, you know, they seem to meet all the characteristics, but you know, this congregation really stumbles over trying to elect men, so we're fortunate for that here.
Yes.
And I also have the teaching behind it to back up, you know, what we've done here is according to what God, what I believe, according to His Word.
Right.
One of the things that I thought of, kind of was clear. You know, it's always clear that just the simple things. And one of the things that I don't thank God enough for is that, like, for the patience and the time that Mom took when I was younger to teach me things, which now, in present time, my abilities to cook for you and Dylan or to do things around the house. And it just kind of goes full circle. You just follow that thread about what happened way back then and now your abilities now. So it's just the simple things.
Well, and other things, more important things she taught you.
Yes, that too. But y'all really reap the benefits.
Yes,
so,
yes, you know. That is true. Were there any other comments? Or yes, sir.
Nothing. I don't take for granted about worrying or not, but it's forgiveness. You know, the grace and mercy we have through Christ. Through this plan, we can obtain forgiveness and grace and mercy and I think about my shortcomings and things I've had to do to correct in my life, and the blood of Christ, that's just unimaginable. I mean, that is just such a blessing. We can continually draw by His grace and mercy if we're truly, you know, through His terms of forgiveness and repent.
Right.
That's a blessing that just is indescribable. And I'm truly thankful for that. I'm hopefully not that old enough and go there. But that's, to me, that's just a blessing that's beyond comparison.
Okay.
Obviously, we wouldn't have access to that to work in a relationship.
Right. Right, this very the very avenue.
Right.
Any other thoughts or comments? Or? No. So let's try to think hard on these types of things, so that we might be more thankful, and that we might look to ourselves as far as how we are showing this thankfulness, and. Are we thinking of God in our prayers? And how often? And one thing to keep in mind, is it often enough? And which I don't know that it could be often enough when you compare everything that's been done for us.
I did this lesson with my daughter, my 8-year-old. She said, Jesus died on the cross. I guess that's one better keep it in the forefront of our minds. When all circles around.
Okay. All righty. There's no more comments or anything on that lesson. We'll go over to E. Complaint. Okay. Complaint. So should we complain to God?
With the proper attitude, I think you
okay.
can.
So, yeah. Well, that's yes.
Define complaint.
I would agree with that.
Why no?
Now, I put here a lot of the time prayers of complaint are coupled with petition. And we might complain to God or go to Him, speaking of the things that make our hearts heavy. And when we do that, we might ask for some sort of relief, or some guidance or knowledge, depending on the circumstances. And we should do this because He did give us this avenue for that. If we'll look over at Psalms, Psalm 54, we see in this psalm where this can be a prayer of complaint or petition. In verse 1, David says, "Save me, O God, by Your name, and vindicate me by Your power. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth." And if you jump, now in verse 3 it says, "For strangers have risen against me, and violent men have sought my life." We can see that how when we are troubled, asking God for His help can make us feel better. We understand that when we were looking at Hannah, the example in 1 Samuel, for the things that was going on with Hannah. She would, when she went to God, and just by the very act of doing that, her trust that He hears made her comforted her. But we can see another benefit that we can get from complaint on its own, and how might we benefit from this type of prayer? God already. I'm sorry.
God's an answer.
Okay.
Gives us peace of mind.
Okay, peace of mind. Because I mean, God already knows what's on our heart and what we're facing in our lives. Yet he in his knowledge and wisdom has asked or provided us a way to speak to him. So why is that?
To release also. I mean,
okay.
It's truth. It's a true thing. It's not like you're speaking to a dumb idol. It's not going to be a thing for you, but look back at you. And we know God is true. It's
okay, he is. He is true. But if he already knows what...
He wants to hear from us.
He wants to hear from us. But maybe there's a benefit by the very act of us doing this as well. Yes, sir, Rocky.
I think the benefit there is really comes down to our faith and trust.
Okay.
I think that what God wants us to do, He wants us to trust Him in what He says. And when we start putting things and plead to Him, we're trusting and we have faith that He's going to answer it one way or the other and lays the burden. That's the
right. Kind of lay the burden on Him.
He tells us there's a benefit there for us and
right.
He already knows.
Certainly no benefit to Him. I mean, God doesn't mean us.
Well, and one thing I was thinking of is in terms of psychiatrists, you know, people go to psychiatrists, and I'm sure they might have some advice and stuff that might be good, but I think just by the very act of people talking about things, you know, just the very act of doing that, there's some benefit in that on its own. But most importantly, like Rocky said, our trust and belief in God and trusting that He's able and that He'll answer in His way in his time.
Well, on the other side, if you don't trust and believe, He's not going to answer.
Right. Yeah, if you're not really trusting Him, it's just words anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any comments or thoughts? So it's a great blessing that we have that we can speak to God.
It's like people who pray for things and they're surprised when they get them. Do they really believe what they were praying for? Do they believe that God was going to answer them? But it's so weird. I've seen that happen.
Or praying for patience and then what you
is a
way to
get patience.
To get
don't
patience.
Ever pray for patience.
That's God's wisdom. You ask for it, you got it.
So this type of prayer that we just looked at, this complaint, I just briefly covered that. Do y'all have any comments or thoughts on that?
Well, I one of the things that helps me to keep in mind is a fundamental that is to recognize God is concerned about us, He cares about us, and He knows what's good for us.
Right.
God always answers our prayers.
Right.
Not necessarily the way we ask. But the thing about it, it goes back to this trust thing. You can share with God what's on your heart, and you may ask for things. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come about. What you've asked for is going to come about, particularly what you've asked for. But that doesn't mean God hasn't answered your prayers. But the beauty of it, to me, in terms of what are we really trusting, is knowing that God is in control and what's going to come out at the end of the fight, whatever it is, even though it may not seem momentarily to be the best our opinion.
Right.
You know, we don't even, there's no comparison between what we know and things,
right.
What God knows and things. And,
right.
Leave it to Him at that point. And take what He gives us back and be with it.
Trust in His wisdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a comment, Rocky?
Yeah, when you think about this complaint, well, here we are as individuals. We've got all our own little personal issues and problems. And yes, we're praying. Who are we praying to? We pray to God, the Creator. You know, the infinite person here. And it boggles my mind. We had that avenue of prayer, but we realize what's really happening. Here as individuals, and here God's working our problems individually, and here's the supreme, you know, infinite power, wisdom, presence, and all that. And it kind of all gets back to all made possible by Christ. The spiritual blessing of having Christ and be able to have access to it is just phenomenal when you really think about it.
Yes.
It's like, just kind of what Wally was just saying, kind of thought of something. It's like children, they have no inhibitions in asking parents for something. You know, can I have ice cream for dinner? And as parents, we know what's best for them, and no, you cannot have ice cream for dinner. But that doesn't stop them from asking, you know, that thought doesn't stop them from asking. They continue to ask at various times. And we, somewhere along the way, guard ourselves from asking God for things.
Okay.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, but do you mean just from asking specific type of things, or...
No, I think sometimes we answer for God. We answer in ourselves for God, so we don't ask.
Okay. Instead of trusting
and
Him.
Exactly. Instead of asking and just trusting that He, and trusting Him. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Any more comments or thoughts? You looking up one, Wally?
Go ahead.
Just checking. So this idea of complaint, what we were just looking at, but we'll see that you might see what these complaints, a petition for vengeance, and that's kind of rolling into our next point, which is imprecatory. Well, this definition that I have here, it's imprecate, or to pray for, which it shows here, evil, misfortune, invoke. Now, this idea that we're looking at, anger in itself is not a sin, but how we deal with anger can be a sin. Now, in Ephesians 4, we'll look over there. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And I was quoting Psalms 4:4. So if we keep this in mind, what Ephesians 4 is saying, and we interpret what Psalms 4 is telling us, let's look over at Psalms 4. Psalms 4:4, it says to tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. This in Psalms 4:4, it tells us to tremble and do not sin. But the footnote says, at least in your first footnote, says with anger or fear. And the second footnote says, but do not sin. And this second part of the verse says to meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. And if you look at that footnote for meditate, it is to speak. So basically, at least the way I'm seeing it, it is to that we are to speak in our heart upon our bed and be still. So I think what it's telling us is that this being still means not to physically act upon something. And in verse 5 it says to offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. What I'm saying is that we can go to God about these things that anger us. And as we look at, as we're going to look at in a minute, this is not just any kind of anger. Okay, this isn't just a prideful anger or something to that extent. This is a specific kind of anger. And this anger has to do with unrighteousness. Yes, sir?
What does the footnote in fear mean to you?
I'm sorry?
What did you derive from that in fear, the footnote on in fear? Where did that...
in fear?
Yeah, where did that...
Let me see where that
are
was.
You in Ephesians?
Well, I'm going from... Some of it is in Ephesians and some of it is in Psalms.
I saw that in fear and I was wondering where that played a part. I would have thought... I took that to mean... In fear, you know, how you reacted to your anger. You know, you're in fear of the Lord, be careful how you speak or how you act in your heart.
Now, which verse, Jim?
I thought that was verse 4, wasn't it? I thought, I don't have it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's 4, it's tremble.
4, tremble?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is with anger or fear.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Your version says tremble with anger or fear?
No, so tremble. In the footnote.
The footnote
says.
Okay.
I.e.
Yeah,
with anger or fear.
Mine says be angry.
Be angry?
With no footnote.
Okay.
And that's why I was confused.
So that.
King James.
Well, my footnote says or tremble.
King James says stand in awe.
Okay.
What does it play?
Oh, what it means to me is what you normally think of. Tremble, you either tremble from fear, you tremble
from anger, yeah.
You want.
Yeah.
Or with anger.
You're shaking mad.
You're so mad, you're shaking.
Yeah. But don't ask the opponent.
But don't hit the person.
Yeah.
This footnote says they'll be agitated.
Or be agitated, is that what you said? Okay. Well, and we'll see from, let's look over at Romans 12. We'll read Romans 12, 19 and 20. It says, Romans 12, 19, never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So, this idea, we're not to take our own vengeance. You know, this is for God to handle. And that's what we're doing when we approach in this way. We're asking for Him to handle it. We're not saying, hey, God, give me the opportunity. I'll fix this guy or whatever. That's not, that's not what's going on. It's having to do with this, what's being angered against. First of all, is unrighteousness. And you're going to God and you're trusting in Him to handle it. Or, I mean, because He's the judge and He's going to decide what to be done about it. And we're kind of, as Rocky put, as we were talking about one of the other prayers, but the prayer of complaint, but that's, I think these have a lot to do with each other. And what we're doing is we're approaching God and we're pouring out our heart of what's going on and asking for Him to do something about it. But we're leaving it in His hands. It's not up to us to do. So we see that we can take these things to the Lord and let Him be the judge. And what we can see that that's exactly what David did in these imprecatory psalms. He went to God with a complaint of those who were unrighteous and dealing with him unfairly. And he left it in the hands of the one that has the authority to do something about it. He asked and petitioned God to handle it. And I had listed several psalms here that have examples of this type of prayer. And that's, Psalms 35, 52, 56, 58, 59, 69. It's not limited to that. There was a lot more that could be on this list. But I had asked the question, name some things that David has complaint about.
Several places he asked God to do something about his enemies. Mm-hmm.
Okay. They were always after it.
Okay.
And I think that's perfectly acceptable. Mm-hmm. If we're having problems and we can't do anything about it,
okay.
God can fix stuff.
Okay. And by doing this, again, we see this idea. We're trusting Him, and we're not taking it upon ourselves. We're using that avenue. Now, one of them, of course, we're not going to go through all these Psalms, but I did write down a couple of things from Psalms 35, if we'll turn over there. Okay, now in Psalms 35, I just noted some things that David complained about just in this psalm itself. In verse 1, you see this idea that it says, contend with me, or they fight against me. Verse 3, they pursue me. Verse 4, they seek my life, devise evil against me. Verse 7, they hid their net for me, dug a pit for my soul, and verse 8 explains this destruction. Then we can skip down to verse 11. It says, malicious witnesses rise up. Verse 12, repay me evil, bereavement of my soul. Verse 15, at my stumbling they rejoiced together against me. Then also slandered me without ceasing. We see in verse 16, gnashed at me with their teeth. Verse 20, devised deceitful words. And in verse 26, says that they rejoiced at my distress. So, does he have reason to complain?
Yes.
Okay, yes. The way he was being treated. And then verse 12, which we already mentioned it, but this idea that they were paying him evil for good. So how does David handle this? What's he trust in? And in this same psalm, we see words also that show what David trusts in. He trusts in the Lord and asks for His help. It's coupled in with these other words where we saw what was troubling him. We see what he asks of the Lord. In verse 31 it says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me.
In
35? I'm sorry?
You said verse 31. Verse 1.
Oh, did it come out 31? I was thinking one. I apologize. No, 35 verse 1. Maybe I was speaking too fast. Sorry.
Speaking in tongues.
Sorry about that. Psalm 35 verse 1. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. And we see in verse 2, says, rise up for my help. Verse 3, draw also the spear and the battle axe to meet those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Verse 4, turn back and humiliated. Verse 5,
excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
I thought you were talking about, what are we talking about?
What
verses are you delineating here? What are you...
What we were looking at in the first part of the verses is things that we can see David, what he was complaining
right,
about.
Right, I got that. And then you didn't start on page 33 with what does he trust in?
Uh-huh.
Okay, can you say verse 4 again, whatever you just said?
In verse 4, it says, turn back and humiliated.
Okay, I'm not understanding how you're using...
Well, he's asking for them to be turned back and humiliated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it says let those be turned back and humiliated. I was just kind of shortening some of the verse. I apologize.
Okay.
There.
I'm sorry, I got it.
This is all the evil he's praying to be done to them.
Right, right. This is first we saw what was happening, and now we see what he wants asking for.
Yeah.
Right. Verse 5, the angel of the Lord driving them out. Verse 6, the angel of the Lord pursuing them. Verse 8, we see it says, let destruction come upon him. Let the net which he hid catch himself. And into that very destruction let him fall. Verse 17, Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages. My only life from the lions. In verse 19, he says, do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me, nor let those who hate me without cause wink maliciously. So we see this idea that, you know, they don't even have a reason for doing this. Verse 22, you have seen it, O Lord. Do not keep silent. O Lord, do not be far from me. Verse 23 says, stir up yourself and awake to my right and to my cause. Then in verse 20, well, there's also another. In verse 24 it says, judge me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness. And then in 26 it says, let those be ashamed and humiliated altogether. Let those be clothed with shame and dishonor. So that's basically, I'm sorry if I didn't make it real clear on what I was looking at there, but I was kind of just breaking down that particular psalm where we could see this idea of David complaining and also this idea of what he's asking for from the Lord. And we also see a thankfulness in here. Now, I wrote, did you have a comment, Rocky?
Well, again, on this question here, I definitely see the first part.
Okay.
What he's complaining about.
Okay.
And the second question, all my answers, I picked a lot of the verses you had toward the end, is what does he trust in? That's the Lord.
Right.
I use different phrases. And I think you also have another question that I didn't read into this thing is, what is he asking God to do to those who are condemned against him? So it seems like you have both those in this question. I pick out.
Okay, so I might not have phrased it right. I apologize there, but yeah, like I've said before, sometimes my questions, I know what I had in mind, but I apologize if I don't make them real clear. But yes, ma'am.
Well, I guess too, I was with kind of like Rocky. I was trying to just pick verses that said what he trusts in verse
okay.
9. Says, my soul should be joyful in the Lord. To me, that shows his trust in him. It shall
okay.
rejoice in his salvation. And in verse 18, I don't think you mentioned, but it says, I will praise you among many people.
Okay.
And giving him thanks too in that verse. So
and
that definitely shows his trust that he's going to praise him in front of everybody.
And that's some of what I've got for the next question, actually. What verses show David's thankfulness?
I did 10 through 14.
Towards the Lord. I'm sorry?
I did 10 through 14 for his trust through the persecution, if you will, or I don't know what you want to call it, just the suffering, if you will, that he was going through with persecution. He trusted in the Lord that he'd be avenged for the things that he was dealing with.
Okay.
The malicious witnesses rise up and they ask him, you know, these things he's dealing with. He trusted the Lord would take care of that.
Yes, sir.
My prayer kept returning to my bosom. He kept praying. No, I believe he believed that God would answer that prayer.
Right. Trusting that he'll answer in his way
again.
These
things that were afflicting him as he spoke there in 10 at the top of the page, top of my fingers. He believed that God would answer. I believe he believed that God would answer this. Take care of those things, you said.
Yes, sir.
That's like his trust. I don't know if that's what you had in mind. But.
Alrighty. And we got a couple of minutes. And well, just to touch some of these other points that, or some of the other verses that y'all were showing here. Now, what I had in mind, I had this third question: what verses show David's thankfulness towards the Lord, kind of in connection in these verses? And one of them that Pam was mentioning, that's kind of where I put that, Pam, with verse 9. And my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, it shall exult in His salvation. And I also put verse 18 here also. And verse 10, all my bones will say, Lord, who is like you? Who delivers the afflicted from him who is strong, who is too strong? Yes, sir.
What is that?
10.
Okay. Who delivers the afflicted from him who is too strong for him, and the afflicted and the needy from him who robs him. I also mentioned...
I had 28.
You have 28? Okay, 28. My tongue shall declare your righteousness and your praise all day long. And I also did verse 27.
Yeah.
Okay. Let them shout for joy and rejoice who favor my vindication. And let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, who delights in the prosperity of His servant.
Verse 24 shows His trust in God's judgment.
Okay. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to your righteousness, and do not let them rejoice over me. Okay. So a lot of these, well, we can see how a lot of these can be intertwined. So the idea is here is we can see that David had some complaints. And in these complaints, he also shows that his trust in God and thankfulness in this trust. And we also see where he's asking for something to be done. So David trusted that the Lord heard him and was able to do something about it. Again, we need to have the right attitude when we pray. Not only did David show his trust in this, he praised and gave God the honor that was due to him. Now, we were only going to look at this chapter in class, and hope you read some of the other chapters, or if you haven't, if you get a chance, look at some of those other psalms that we had listed. I think we're going to stop right here. Did anybody have any comments or thoughts? Or
I think another thing you saw here was humility.
Okay.
It's all the other verses and things we looked at. That's something that strikes me.
Humility.
Okay. Give God the praise.
Are you going to email out the next class material?
Yes, where will we at?
Just we don't have...
What's the last I gave y'all?
That's it.
Oh, is that it? Okay, yes. I will definitely... I will bring some copies and I'll
email
you so you can put on the deal. All right. Thank you.